Well, this morning, I don't know about you, but I could use a comeback. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we have a fall down, and we need to rise up. And sometimes we get lost and get involved so much in the things of what's going around us that we need to come back. We need to come back to focus on God and find God's peace and find God's truth. And so, but some of us wander in different places from time to time. I'll kind of wander through the sermon here as it usually goes, and maybe I'll get to the point eventually, so you'll be listening for that, right? But there's nothing worse than following a lost teacher, isn't there? Right? Many, many, many years ago, I don't know if you know this about me, but sometimes I have a loss of direction. I think it's genetic. My mother had a loss of, she couldn't find directions anywhere. I grew up in Rhode Island, a very small state. I would very often find myself with my mother in Connecticut or Massachusetts or New Hampshire. We were heading to Cranston, Rhode Island, which is like 15 minutes from Providence, but our sense of direction was like nowhere. My mother could have used GPS big time, right? And I laugh about that because I kind of have that from time to time. When I follow my own way of doing things and when I head off into different ways, and sometimes my mind leads me off into those tangents of thought, you know, it's easy to just see something and then respond to it and react to it, and your thoughts go on its little trip, right? Uh-huh. Down Merry Lane. Or not, maybe not so merry, right? And so God has to bring us back, right? God goes, back here, oh, back here, focus, focus, focus. This is where you were heading. Let me show you the direction. So God's GPS is what I call the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will teach us the right directions to take. Because there's so many choices, aren't there? And there's so many things that sometimes, based on what happens, we respond and react to that, don't we? And sometimes we head off in the wrong direction, don't we? Particularly in our mind. And this is what I'm going to preach about this morning from the book of Luke. It's one of my favorite stories that relates to people being lost, you know, heading off in the wrong direction, if you will. But the scriptures tell us, even in the book of Zechariah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, that the shepherd will come looking for the lost sheep. Jesus taught that in the book of Luke when he said, even if I have one lost sheep, I'm going to leave the 99 who are okay. I'm going to go look for that sheep, right? So we see the scriptures always are teaching us and telling us that even when you're lost, Jesus knows where you are. So you're really never lost, right? And if you listen to the Holy Spirit saying, stop, take a breath, pull out a map, the Word of God, pull it out, go ahead, get your mind in here, and you'll see in the scriptures hope, direction, guidance, warning of which road not to go down. And if nothing else, it brings your focus back on, wait a minute. Jesus said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I am not alone. And Jesus is the way. So therefore, if I'm lost, he knows the way. So I'm going to come back to Jesus however you do that. You take a step back. And then you follow. See, we're followers of Christ. We're not leaders of Christ. Although I do kind of like telling God what to do from time to time. I mean, good intentions. Right? I mean, you've got some good suggestions for God, don't you? Of course you do. And God always says, I'll take that under advisement. I've learned God's sovereignty. That's a great thing. So let's go to the book of Luke this morning. We're going to pick up the story. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. So we know that he died, and we know he resurrected. So that also means when we die, we resurrect. Jesus is the resurrector. And he can do things in us to give us revival all the time and bring our hope back, bring our health back, bring our focus back to the good, right? So this is what transpires. And we, in the book of Luke chapter 24 is where we're going, verse 13. This is after Jesus had risen from the dead and he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and Peter had gone to the tomb and saw the tomb was empty. And then this is a story of two people that respond to what happened to Jesus and Jesus' death. So I'm picking up at verse 24:13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. So remember, Jesus had risen from the dead, and he told Mary Magdalene and the disciples, meet me in Galilee. I'm going to meet you there. Where are these two men going? Emmaus, the opposite direction, just in case you didn't know. So they're heading away from. They're going away from Jerusalem, not, and certainly not towards Galilee. They're heading out of town. Ever want to get out of Dodge? Many of us that are in pain, we want to run, right? That's our first inclination, right? Flee. Get away from it, right? How many of you like pain? What, no hands? Pain is a great motivator, though, isn't it? Ask me. I've got a gallbladder issue, and I've lost some weight because pain, I don't like pain, so I'm going to change my diet. See, pain is a motivator to help you to change for the better. So pain can be your friend. Did you know that? Okay, not so much. All right. If you don't change, what's going to stay? But needless to say, these two, they couldn't take the fact that Jesus had died. And they didn't believe he resurrected, obviously. Verse 14, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. So here's these two people leaving. These are two people that are talking about everything that happened. So what are they doing? Are they encouraging each other? They're talking, they're commiserating. Misery loves company sometimes. So they're leaving Jerusalem. They're talking about everything that happened, how Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah, how he had been arrested, how he had been beaten, how that he never really is ever going to take care of Israel and restore the kingdom of God, how he just died and that was the end of him. And so their hope was gone, wasn't it? Their faith in what Jesus said he would do, for whatever reason, it didn't sink into them. And so they're heading in another direction, and they're talking about it. I want to tell you something. Be careful who you keep company with. Because really, there is misery, and we know that, yes. But to talk about it and talk about it, how's it going to help you? Is it going to change anything? What's it going to help you feel? Bad and worse. So be careful who you keep company with. And I'm talking about even your own thoughts. Because I don't know about you, but I get a lot of people up here. I got a family that lives in my head. Lots and lots of words are in here. Lots and lots of pictures, lots and lots of sounds, lots and lots of things, lots and lots of pain, lots and lots of memories. That if I commiserate with somebody else who's just like me that's had a rough childhood and we both talk about how bad it was, how are we going to feel? Now, it's okay to admit what was and say what was, but we want to change what was, right? Does God change what is and was? That's what forgiveness does, right? Because up in here, you have a storeroom, don't you? Some of your computers are really full of a lot of old data. Can we just scrub that dry? How about a delete button for real? What if you freed up some RAM? Is that what it is? I don't know. Memory. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, technologically speaking, let's get rid of it, shall we? Let's not keep just talking about it, right? And why I say that is it helping you to rehash it and talk about it? With a counselor, maybe. That the purpose of going to counseling is to get it out so that we can be rid of it. You should see my office, the stuff that's in there. There's so many stories in my office. So many. I keep them so you can't have them. And if any of you go in there trying to get your story back, see, God is a God of healing, right? God wants us to be free of all those things. That's what forgiveness is. That's what new life is. That's what release is, to let go of resentments towards others. Because what happens up here can cause us to then have ill will towards someone else, can it? If we relive the pain that they caused us, can't we? How does this help us move us forward? Doesn't. We're heading in the wrong direction, aren't we? The road to Emmaus. And we're supposed to be going to God. Anyway, all right. Next verse. They were talking about everything that happened. Suddenly, I pray for many, many, many suddenlies in your life. When your head is on the roll and you're going down that wrong road and you're traveling in the wrong direction, your thoughts, I mean, you're riding on that thought train, right? And it's going, and it's going downhill, right? You're just, it's going down and you're starting to feel what? Oh, I can't move. Suddenly, Jesus appears. I pray for suddenlies in the middle of the night for you. I pray for suddenlies that Jesus will suddenly come upon you to cause you to stop thinking that way. I want you to learn a new word. Suddenly, Jesus, suddenly he appears right beside them. Why? Because they were two lost sheep, right? Heading in the wrong direction. If you don't think God doesn't care about two people, remember the disciples, and many disciples were where in Jerusalem, right? Why wasn't Jesus there? He said, I'll meet you there. He could have just been like, ta-da, here I am, worship me. He could have. But you see the kind of shepherd and God he is? These two were lost, going down the wrong way. Their mind was taking them somewhere they needed not to be. And Jesus went after them, right? Jesus is a great chaser. And if you think you can run from him, good. I can't run fast enough. I don't know what he's got, like superpowers or something, right? And he can catch you at any given moment in your life, can he? Wherever you may be, especially when you're at your darkest. Suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. The Holy Spirit sent Jesus. Remember Philip went walking beside the Cornelius a couple weeks ago? I'm sorry, not Cornelius, the Ethiopian. Peter visited Cornelius. Same idea. People that needed God, God sent someone to them, right? So he goes walking beside them. But they didn't know who he was because God kept them from recognizing him. You seem to be in deep discussion about something, he said. What are you so concerned about? Don't you love how Jesus asks questions? Sometimes in your life, you get concerned, don't you? And there's lots of things that we could be concerned about, aren't there? Couldn't we? I mean, we could get on that train and be here the rest of the day talking about all the things that we should be concerned about, right? And God says, what are you so concerned about? Somebody forgot here who God is, right? Right? Even those of us that have faith, does God ever leave us? Truth be told. What are you so concerned about? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. So they, what things? Jesus asks. You notice how he's doing a little counseling here? What things? What's bothering you? What's going on here? Tell me what's in your head. And so they begin to tell all the things that happened that was bothering them. So it's okay to verbalize to God, in case you didn't get that one. It's okay to say to God what you're concerned about. You don't have to keep it inside. Verse 25. Jesus said to them, you're foolish people, You find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. You know, he's like, come on. Don't you remember what's in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory? Don't you remember that was going to happen? Don't you remember when we see the world today, don't you remember that Jesus said in the world we're going to have tribulation? Why are we surprised? But he also said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So yes, it's happening, but what are we supposed to do? Have faith and hope in God, right? We don't have to feel lost and alone and just like everything's fruitless. We can have hope in God, can't we? We can be of good cheer, can't we? Can't you? When our problems go away, then I'll be of good cheer. When my bank account is full, then I'll be really happy, God. When my spouse treats me better, I'll be really super duper happy. when our happiness sometimes is what? Circumstantial? If you're waiting for circumstances to change for you to be happy and whole and at peace, because when I'm talking about be of good cheer, Jesus is speaking about to have hope, to believe, to still find good in the world wherever you might be and shift your focus off just the bad onto the good. There are good people in the world, aren't there? I'm standing in a room full of them. Right? Yeah. Be of good cheer. I'm cheering up just looking at you. Right? Good will overcome evil. We're the good, aren't we? In case you didn't know, in the future, Jesus wins. Just in case you didn't know that. Okay. Jesus, verse 27. Then Jesus quoted passages from the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining what all the scriptures said about himself. So here, you know how long it took for this walk, by the way, while Jesus is walking with them? 2 hours. Can you imagine hearing all the scriptures from Moses through the prophets constantly being poured into your head for 2 solid hours? Oh, let me begin. Oh. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. So from the time he catches up with them, right, he asks them what's going on. He spent some time asking the concerns, and what does he give to solve that problem? The scriptures. The scriptures. It's the scriptures of God, of all the prophets and all the sayings that are in this book, that if you read those and you meditate on those and you listen to those and you put those in your mind and in your heart, if you fill your head, remember how you deleted everything before? You're all empty-headed right now? We're going to fill it up with what? Scripture. Because when you have that to pull out of your memory bank, right? When you know the Word of God and you bring up the Word of God, I've never seen anybody ever not forsaken by God. I'm misquoting a scripture, but there you have it. It's in there. When you have that to rely on, does that not help give you better direction? Does that not help cheer you up? Does that not help you get back focused to where you need to be in terms of believing and trusting in God? And instead of being lost and going in the wrong direction, you suddenly come back to your senses and go, wait a minute, whoa, I know this all that's out here, but in here, I'm safe. God's got me. God loves me. God will see me through this. I believe that. I trust God with my very soul. You believe that? By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with him since it was getting late. So this is the time frame. Remember, they left during the day? Now it's nighttime. 2 hours have gone by. 2 hours and 15 minutes to be exact, according to the scriptures. And then they get to Emmaus, and he's going to just keep traveling on, so they think. And they say, stay with us. See, once you, when you're lost and when you're alone or when you're going through some difficulties, your mind, that's where you're staying, isn't it, sometimes? And sometimes your mind is taking you in places that are hurtful and painful or are negative, right? Your mind goes on its own travel, right, to something in the future that might even be negative, doesn't it? But Jesus shows up suddenly and helps you to come back using the Word of God. And then once you start staying with Jesus in the Holy Spirit way, in other words, in prayer, alone, blocking out everything else, and God speaks to you, peace comes. I promise you, peace comes to your heart, to your mind, and your soul. Everything changes. Your viewpoint changes. So he went home with them because they asked him to. My suggestion, when you're in trouble, invite Jesus in. Put an empty chair. Imagine he's sitting across from you. Tell him all your troubles, all your problems, all your concerns. Pour out your heart to him. He's a great listener. And after you've done that, he'll pour his peace into you. Something happens miraculously that way when you spend that time one-on-one with God. As they sat down to eat, he took a loaf of bread, asked God's blessing on it, broke it, and gave it to them. What's he doing there? Something familiar? Anybody ever hear of him breaking bread and giving it to people? Like a zillion times? Like maybe even at the Last Supper? He broke the bread and gave it to them. Because why? He's the living bread, right? Oh, there's that word again. I'm not going to yell it this time. I'm going to say it softly. Suddenly, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. Jesus fed them. They didn't feed him. Isn't that cool? See, when you're in need, God feeds you. He wants to feed you. He wants to feed your heart and your soul. We're so busy sometimes trying to feed ourselves and take care of ourselves that we don't always go to God and say, help me, feed me, take care of me. I'm struggling, God. And if you're hanging around with somebody who's going to commiserate with you, they're going to help you feel worse. But guess what's going to happen? There's that word again. Suddenly, God's going to appear to one of you or both of you. And the scriptures are coming back to mind. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. I don't know how many times you've had Jesus visit you. Anybody seen Jesus ever? Anybody ever heard Jesus speak? Anybody ever felt Jesus? Anybody, right? How can that be? Because your heart eyes were open. Your ears were open and you had a need. And you might have been a lost sheep at one given time needing God's help. And guess what happens? Suddenly, something inside, you know that you know that you know this is God talking. And I don't care where you are. You could be in your car. You could be sitting at a computer. You could be at work. You could be having a whole conversation like I'm talking to you right now. Or that's not really a conversation. You could be listening to someone speaking. And while I'm speaking, God could be saying something totally different to you than he's saying that I'm my words that are coming out. That's the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works. Are you hearing what God's trying to speak to your heart today? We're open and they recognize him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Whew. They said to each other, didn't our hearts feel strangely warm as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? He not only said the scriptures, he explained the scriptures. You see why sometimes I explain the scriptures to you? So that maybe if you don't quite understand the concept, the Holy Spirit helps me speaks to me to speak to you so you understand. God wants you to understand the scriptures, to know the scriptures, to realize that they're a living, working, breathing entity for you in your life. And they're alive. And they mean something today just like they meant something thousands and thousands of years ago. Doesn't your heart feel warm sometimes when you're sitting in church? Sometimes the tears flow. You have no idea why. Something's being released. That's God working inside of you. And sometimes it's through the scriptures and sometimes it's through the songs, but sometimes it's just you sitting there while other things are happening. God is touching you because God knows your needs individually and us collectively. And he meets you right at your need. Because he cares about even two of you. Two of you lost souls. Where are you? Where are those lost souls in here? All of us are lost at one time or another, aren't we? We lose our way. We do. The world tries to cause us to be afraid. The world tries to cause us to give up. The world tries to stop us from doing good and loving others. The world tries to tell us we're not good enough and God can't love us. The world tries to say all kinds of things. Are we going to get on their train with them? No. Take another station, please. Keep on rolling. Go on, go on, go on. I don't have a ticket for that train. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Boom. That's an awesome story. Come on. Listen. Some of you are headed in the wrong direction. Do you know you are? Do you? Do you know when you're lost? I used to have a bumper sticker that said, don't follow me, I'm lost too. True. We can get so lost in everything that's around us, can't we? Our mind, our thoughts, these distractions that are all around us all the time. Right? They can. And things can happen that cause us to be in pain. I understand that. But we can't just sit and dwell on that, can we? We need what? A suddenly. And we need to turn back around and head back to Jerusalem to join the rest of the people that are believers. You see what they're doing there? These two guys were headed away. They were giving up. They were going on their own. But Christ showed up. Touched them, spoke to them, and boom, within the hour. Didn't take them long after they realized, whoa, that was a visitation from God. I think I'll go back. Sometimes when you're headed in a direction that God wants you in, stumbling blocks come. Did you ever notice that? Have anybody here ever had an obstacle in front of them? You know, you're heading to the hospital and your car gets a flat tire. Like, what? AAA is going to be 4 hours later. Or you're following a dream and God's called you to do whatever, right? And something comes in the way or somebody says to you, oh, why do you want to do that? And you go, yeah, you know, I know, I probably shouldn't. Be careful who talks to you. There's a lot of negativity out there in case you didn't notice. Are you going to listen to that? So listen, if you were heading towards something good, keep going. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Go, 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 go. It's okay. Go. If you're heading in the wrong direction, turn around. Start over. You can always start over again, can't you? Because suddenly, I'm telling you, suddenly, everything can change for you. For the better. Come back to God. Always come back to God and God's directions. So now for those of you that get lost and have GPS. I mean, it's impossible today to be lost, right? You got your phone. You got your navigation on your car. You got somebody sitting beside you telling you where to go if you're... So we can't possibly ever get lost again, can we? Here's the key. Where were you headed? Do you know where you're going? Do you know the outcome of where you're meant to be? That's up to God to design you and desire for you and show you where you're headed. But please, if you're heading in a direction that's causing you pain, you might want to turn around. You might want to change direction. I'm trying to think how to end this. Suddenly! Amen, amen, and amen. Very nice. Isn't that awesome? So on this table over here to the right, there's some bread. For those of you that need a comeback to God, need a turnaround, need a new start, need a new direction in your life, or just need the touch of God because of what's going on up here in your head sometimes, what you're thinking, or what's causing you pain, or if all the things that are so overwhelming that are happening in our world and you keep thinking about all these things and all these tragedies and all, there's so much going on. But God's got it all, right? God will take care of it. We need to put that into God's hands. Tell God about it. It's okay. And that's what prayer does. It's saying, here, God, here's this mess. Please fix it. And then take hands off and believe and trust. We have communion here because each and every one of us need a touch from God this morning, don't we? And when you come up for communion, there's bread. As it's broken, you'll recognize that God is here. And God will touch you, God will heal you, God will restore you, God will help you. And God will give you new hope and new vision and peace. Recognize that God is here. See him with your eyes of your heart. And then head back onto the journey that God already placed you. And continue your work to share the good news with others. See, those two that were on the way to Emmaus, they were supposed to go tell of Jesus' resurrection. That's really what they were commissioned to do. And I know when they got back to Jerusalem and they told Peter and all the others that they had seen the Lord, I'm sure they were some of the people that told all the others after that about the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ and how God had sent Jesus and touched their lives. And that's what we're here for, to give you hope and for you to pass that on to others. So come back to God this morning. If you've never been to God before in Jesus Christ, suddenly he'll touch your heart. And I pray you invite him in. Say, stay with me. Come stay with me, Lord. I need you. And I promise Jesus will.